Day after day, I would wander by myself from classroom to classroom because there was nowhere to go and no one to play with. I hated being by myself and missed my schoolmates terribly. All the rooms were empty, rows and rows of desks and chairs and nobody anywhere. I would look at the whitewashed walls hung with maps of China, Tianjin, and France, stand in front of the blank blackboard filmed with chalk dust, stare at the crucifix above the door, sit at a desk scarred by thousands of cuts and pencil marks. The place had become a ghost town. Once I wandered into the chapel after lunch and found it full of praying nuns. Apparently, this was where the sisters were spending most of their time. I knelt on a pew and looked at the majestic high vaulted ceiling. The statues of Jesus and the Virgin Mary radiated a special tranquility as they peered out from the candle smoke and incense vapor floating upwards. I dared not breathe too hard, for fear it would all be blown away. Someone started playing the organ. The music enchanted me. For a few minutes, I felt safe again, the way I used to on Saturday nights in Shanghai, when I'd snuggle deliciously in bed for hours and hours, knowing there was no need to get up early the next morning. Once more, I saw Ye Ye and Aunt Baba playing cards by my bedside. Everything was cozy, relaxed, and comfortable. My aunt's hair was combed back smoothly into a bun, which glistened under the lamplight. I heard again the rhythm of her voice, intermingled with Yeye's laughter, drifting across the room. What wonderful soothing sounds! Then she tucked the blankets around me and lowered the mosquito net over my bed. On Christmas Day, I ate dinner all by myself in the vast refectory. Sister Helene brought me an enormous plate of ham, beans, and potatoes. Meanwhile, she was rushing in and out distractedly, bringing in one thing at a time: bread, water, butter, applesauce, salt, pepper. But she had neglected to give me a fork, and I had nothing to eat with. One minute, she seemed glad I was still around for her to fuss over. The next minute, she had forgotten all about me after saying she would bring me hot Christmas pudding for dessert. I sat for ages pushing my food around on my plate. I could hear the sound of a gramophone scratching out the sweet refrain of Silent Night sung by an unknown soprano. I put my head against my folded arms on the refectory table and fell asleep. Later that evening, I wrote a Christmas letter to Aunt Baba. Dearest Aunt Baba, I have been trying to think of what I should say to you because I don't want to worry you, but there is no other student in the school now except for me. I'm the only one left. Just me and the sisters in this enormous place. Sometimes I can't help wondering what's going to happen when the communists come. Will they take me away with the sisters and put me in prison too? It is impossible to describe to you how I feel. I have written to you so many, many times, and to Ye Ye and third brother too. So far, there is no letter from anyone. Why don't you write? Why doesn't anyone send me a letter? I want you to drop me a line when you get this. I can't imagine why you don't reply. You have no idea what it's like. To be all alone here makes me very, very sad. At night, I lie awake for a long time and stare at all the other empty beds in my dormitory, laid out next to each other like little tombs. I want you to send me a photograph so I can place it by my bed. I would give everything in the world to be with you and Ye Ye again back in Shanghai. Don't forget me. Day after dreary day went by. New Year came, and it was 1949. There was nobody to play with and nothing to do. The sisters were far too worried and preoccupied to fuss with me. Every day was a free day. I spent a lot of time in the library reading fairy tales. Mother Marie had given me a book for Christmas called Paper Magic. Playing solitary games with paper, origami, and paper cuts. Hour after hour, I learned how to fold and cut paper into airplanes, ships, flowers, monkeys, and birds. I loved this book because my troubles seemed to vanish when I applied its magic. I didn't dare ask Mother Marie too often whether I had any mail, because the answer was always no. I didn't know then that Nyang had instructed the nuns to stop all my incoming and outgoing mail and forward it all to her instead. Look, there's no point inquiring any more, she told me one day. Believe me, if you get a letter, I'll shout it from the rooftop and bring it to you at once. Even if you're asleep, I'll wake you up. Then she looked embarrassed and gave me a piece of candy, which she took from a small gold box in her pocket. This little snuff box is the only thing I have to remind me of my father, she told me. He died in Nîmes 3 years ago. So you see, we all suffer in one way or another. Let us pray for each other. In her voice, I heard sadness and fear. I was bouncing a ball against the wall in the schoolyard, sending it as high as I could and jumping up to catch it. I saw Mother Marie huffing and puffing towards me. She was waving her right arm and yelling, "Adeline! Adeline!" The French nuns called me Adeline Yen instead of Yen Junling at St. Joseph's School. Was it lunchtime already? I glanced at her as I bounced the ball hard one last time. Back up it went. I tried to catch it as it came down, but it landed on my head. It hurt a lot, but I didn't want Mother Marie to notice, so I acted as if it were nothing. What was she saying? Adeline, your aunt is here to take you out of school. She is sailing to Hong Kong next week and wants to take you with her. My heart gave a giant lurch as her words sank in. For a dazzling moment, I knew with every fiber of my being that somehow, against all odds, Aunt Baba had come to my rescue. The whole of me was vibrating with joy, and I ran as fast as I could towards the visitor's lounge, followed by Mother Marie. I stopped abruptly at the threshold. In front of me was a small, mousy foreign woman with dark brown hair, dressed in a Western suit. There was no one else. Adeline, she smiled and greeted me in English. How big you've grown. Do you remember me? I'm Aunt Rain Shilling, your Nyang's older sister. I smiled back shyly, saying nothing. A black wave of disappointment swept over me. Come here. Don't be afraid. The last time we met, you were still in kindergarten. It must have been 6 years ago when your Nainai was still alive. You were only 4 or 5 years old then. No wonder you don't remember. Something came over me, Great waves of anguish swelled up. I tried again and again to greet her, to be polite and say how grateful I was that she had come. Words choked me as I struggled, silently cursing my poor English. Then, to my great embarrassment, in front of Mother Marie and this stranger, I started to weep. I hardly knew why I was crying. For the last few months, I had taken the blows as they came, with stoical fortitude. The pain of being torn from my aunt, the anxiety of seeing all my schoolmates disappear from St. Joseph's, the perception of being abandoned and forgotten, the fear of being imprisoned by the communists, the knowledge of my teacher's own terror and helplessness. Of course, I had no words to describe any of this. Somehow, it was still desperately important to put up a front and keep up the pretense. Besides, Aunt Rain was stroking my hair and telling me not to cry. "Hush now, hush. Everything will be all right. It's a good thing your parents mentioned you were enrolled as a boarder at St. Joseph's when they dined with us in September. Otherwise, how would we have known? To think we might have left Tianjin without you. Now you can sail with us to Hong Kong next week. You can share a cabin with me and my daughter, Claudine. She is 9. My husband, Jean, will share one with our son, Victor, who is 10. Your parents will be so pleased to see you. They fled to Hong Kong 3 months ago with Ye Ye and your younger brother and sister." For the first time since my arrival in Tianjin, the sisters allowed me to go out. We walked briskly towards Father's house on Shandong Road. Outside, it was bright, sunny, and cold. The streets were deserted. There was very little traffic and few pedestrians. A truckload of soldiers in peaked caps and padded winter uniforms drove past us. "People's Liberation Army," Aunt Rain exclaimed. "How young they are. None of these communist soldiers look over 20. I was shocked. "Is Tianjin in communist hands?" I asked in a whisper. "Has Chiang Kai-shek lost the war?" "Yes, with hardly a bullet being fired. Beijing is lost too. The nationalists simply gave up and retreated south. Didn't the sisters tell you?" "No, they never talk about the Civil War. But all the girls are gone, and I'm the only pupil left. Thank you for rescuing me." "It's a good thing I suddenly thought of you. You see, we've been living in your father's house for the last few months and taking care of it for him. Since we're leaving, I tried to contact your big sister to keep an eye on the house. That's when I learned she and her husband have already escaped to Taiwan. Didn't your sister visit you to say goodbye before she left Tianjin?" "I've seen no one since I came here last September. You are my first and only visitor." "Aren't you afraid? All by yourself like this?" I heard the concern in her voice and was close to tears again. "A little." She tried to reassure me. "Everything will be fine from now on." "Where is Aunt Baba? Is she in Hong Kong too?" "No. She chose to remain in Shanghai." "Does Nyang know you're taking me with you to Hong Kong?" "No. I haven't had a chance to write her." I was terrified and trembled with fear. "May I please go to Shanghai instead of Hong Kong?" I begged. No, of course not. The communists will probably be marching into Shanghai in a few months. Don't look so scared. You'll be safe in less than 3 weeks. After lunch, we'll come back in a rickshaw and get your belongings. What can be better than being with your parents and Ye Ye in their new home in Hong Kong? I dared not reply, but thought, what can be worse? All the time, I was quaking at the thought of what Nyang would say when she saw me.